There was a massive drug seizure earlier this month in Mexico. 15 tons of pure meth, equal to almost half of all meth seizures worldwide in 2009. And a reminder that methamphetamine is imported into the U.S., but officials across the country have plenty of evidence that it's also homemade. We've been reporting on this new wave of meth addiction in labs, but also a new do-it-yourself method called shake and bake, in which users cook up ingredients like pseudoephedrine from cold medications in plastic bottles. Both the labs and the bottles can explode. Dr. Jeffrey Guy of Vanderbilt University's burn unit in Tennessee told us a third of his patients are now meth users. He's also said some drugstores are putting cold medications right next to the Gatorade bottles that they're cooked in. Today, let's look at an effort to get the pseudoephedrine-containing medications restricted. Tommy Farmer is director of the Tennessee Methamphetamine Task Force. He tried to get a bill passed in which these meth-using medications would be prescription-only. Well, the drug lobby defeated that effort. And Tommy, instead you ended up with a law that enhanced tracking on people who buy pseudoephedrine products, not just getting them to sign a log, but having computers coordinate those logs. And you say that law doesn't go far enough.
We just didn't get the results. We did see some initial reductions in lab seizures, but they were almost immediately overcome, and labs actually were back on the rise, even to a level that surpassed our original record highs.
And one of the problems that you're facing is that the people who cook up these ingredients from the medications have teams of shoppers who fan out and buy things for them. So even if you have restrictions or require somebody to log on, other people may be going back to the same cooker. They're called, these shoppers are called Smurfs?
Yes. Not only did we see individuals popping up to go around and buy the products, we also had other types of crimes all of a sudden surging with identity theft and the use of homeless people to buy these products, or unwitting elderly people, or even college kids.
So Tennessee, like a lot of states, you put some restrictions on the purchase of pseudoephedrine. But you wanted to go further than that. You wanted to do what Oregon and Mississippi do. They do require a prescription for the purchase of products that have pseudoephedrine.
2005, Oregon returned pseudoephedrine to a controlled substance, and that's the first thing that folks don't realize, is that it was a controlled substance.
Before 1974.
Before 1974. What really got our attention was when Mississippi also did the same, and they made pseudoephedrine a controlled substance, and they had significant reductions in lab seizures, significant reductions in the number of children removed from meth homes and placed into foster care. And so, no question, we definitely took notice of that.
So you're looking at Mississippi, you're thinking Mississippi was able to make these drugs that contain pseudoephedrine a prescription. I'm going to try it here. Mm-hmm. And you faced a huge battle with the drug companies.
Oh, we did. There was some significant opposition from the pharmaceutical industry, and we just had a fundamental difference in opinion.
Here's what the drug companies say. They say that limiting pseudoephedrine puts a burden on cold and allergy sufferers. Joy Krieger, who's with the St. Louis chapter of the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America and is working to defeat a prescription-only bill in Missouri, told the New York Times, "We can't change lives just to stop these weirdo people." In other words, I don't want to be inconvenienced to have to go to my doctor to get a prescription for Sudafed. Do you understand that point of view?
Oh, I do. I like my freedoms. And if it was a matter of the actions of just a few people, well, I don't think that we would be having this conversation right now. Unfortunately, it's having a profound impact on our communities. The impact on our resources, law enforcement, and how we're training and how we're having to equip our jails, the judicial system, and the number of folks that are placed into custody. And then, as you referenced just a minute ago, with the burn care centers, we're looking at staggering cost that's on taxpayers. Thousands of contaminated homes, quarantined homes that are across our state. So we're looking at public safety. We're not, when we're talking about pseudoephedrine, and this is just Tommy's opinion here, we're not talking about a cure for cancer or a treatment for diabetes. We're talking about something that relieves some symptoms of allergies and cold symptoms. We're talking about for a handful of products that contain pseudoephedrine. There's already 137 alternative products that are out there on the shelves that also are designed to treat or relieve some of the same symptoms to common colds and allergies.
There's a lot of lobbying money from drug companies that's going to react to that.
There's no question about it. And I'm not going to say that doing this is going to fix your problem with methamphetamine. No, we will have a meth problem. But the difference is, meth is something that not only is going to be imported in large quantities, meth is a synthetic drug that can be manufactured anywhere. The meth labs are what's draining our resources and creating such a public safety issue.
So you're saying that, unlike other drugs, you have to put all your resources into battling the production of methamphetamine?
Sure. Yeah. So while we're spending 14 hours cleaning up a meth lab, we could be spending or devoting our resources toward dismantling these Mexican meth organizations instead of having to train and equip our law enforcement to spend hours, countless hours, stabilizing and packaging and removing all of these hazardous chemicals from this lab site.
Well, these prescription-only bills were defeated in Arkansas, Kansas, Kentucky, West Virginia. As in your state, this was after a heavy lobbying by drug companies. As we mentioned, Mississippi and Oregon managed to pass the prescription-only bill for medications containing pseudoephedrine. But meanwhile, I find myself, this is our third report on the methamphetamine addiction in a couple weeks now. How big a deal is it there?
It's huge. It's a huge deal. You know, in my drug enforcement history, in my career, I never have we ever faced anything that has such a wide impact.
What are you seeing that a lobbyist isn't seeing?
Well, they don't live here. Come spend some time in our trenches. At the end of the day, they go back to wherever they came from, and come Monday morning, they move on to the next thing. Well, come Monday morning with us, we don't have a choice. We have to go back to dealing, number one, taking the calls from the family members that have absolutely are devastated with their loved ones that are faced with this meth scourge, or talking to the moms and dads who have lost their children, or dealing with the burn care centers where these the individuals have blown themselves up, going back and dealing with it and finding a way with fewer dollars, strained resources. We have to deal with the problem. We're still going to have the children. We still have to find a way to deal with it.
Tommy Farmer is director of the Tennessee Methamphetamine Task Force. Tommy, thanks so much for speaking with us.
You're so welcome. Thank you.